Listen,
Just get my NCB
to,
and freight.
2020 need to be
Just get my NCB bill and freight for what it star.
At the end time, you know?
What's that? Hurricane or NCB? Hurricane. Hurricane, Epsilon, or whatever they say their name. But this kind of late, no? This is October. This kind of late for hurricane, but I mean global warming.
It's right, bro. 2020. It's right on time.
Yeah,
but
nothing
yet. Introduce the people, them, no?
We introduce. Bro, shit! Oh no! Before we say, I just wanted to, you know, let people know. So strange shit happened in 2020. LeBron win a fourth ring, so you're making sense.
You know,
sense,
that could only happen in 2020, yeah, like, you know?
That was than COVID to me still. Anyway, people, so we're here for another episode. This one is really just going to be back to basics, you know, as we, just not even just to reminisce, just to get certain things out. So who knows where this conversation is going to lead? As usual, you have Mr. Michael Natu, the poet journalist. You know it, Nago? Well, tell me, you want to tell me? Say it for the record.
Inango Abusha.
Karim, I think that fell in your garden.
Ladies and gentlemen, we also have the Pond Campbell Communication Consultant, Mr. Rimzy Karim Ellis,
Bush God,
Mogul in the making, Mogul in the making. So, bro, how are we doing?
Rimzy, let's adjust the elephant in the room. Tell the people what we are referring to. You know,
if you've never had an accident on the road where you have to shit a bush, you've never run the road before.
He came out in front of that. I'm glad you said.
But anyway, you know, I mean, me just have to ask the brother them straight up, how not good? Like literally. Not good?
Yeah, you know. I'm good. I think I've been through some trying here, you know, that plunged me into a world of painful poetry. But I think I'm on the clear now, you know. I'm good.
Steph, how about you?
I think I'm better now. 2019 December started so hard for me because of some family issues and then writing this thing. And I think finally it's like when I submitted the dissertation, the draft, it's like a weight off of my shoulders. Listen, I slept it's such a relief. So I think I'm finally feeling better, you know, and it's a serious question you're asking because, you know, sometimes we're always on go. We just on go. And we never even stop to consider how we're feeling, man. So I'm better. I won't say I'm there yet, but I'm better, man. And I give thanks for that, man. Really, really, really.
Rimzy, how are you feeling?
Boy, I can tell you straight up, like for me, these last couple of months, they've been trying on different levels, like emotionally, physically, mentally, all of the alley them. Like I feel like literally these last couple of weeks, I want to say months, they've just been, I think it's a test on a level of development and my level of growth and endurance. It's not an easy one, but you know, it's a go on. You know, as I said to Steph, I was just sitting down the other day and I was like, yo, you know, sometimes people just, we don't really need no grand gesture. We just need somebody to literally ask us, yo, you okay? It's just a question, and you'd never be you'd be surprised as to what that question will uncover. Just asking somebody, are you good? Are you okay? You understand? Yo,
stick up in right there. Any of you, bro, has somebody ever asked you that question? Right when they ask you, just start bad.
No, that never happened to me.
You've never been overwhelmed to the point where, you know, you're holding you, you know, you're holding tough and everything. And the moment somebody say, yo, boy, you just want big dirty ball.
I know Ribsy holding something till he could hold it. But I don't think it was tears. I don't think it was.
It wasn't tears.
No, you're the older one.
I'm not saying it happened to me. It happened to a friend I knew from a relative of another friend.
So okay, in quotation marks.
That you saw in the mirror, right? Okay.
In quotation,
the Western mirror.
In the Western mirror. No, it's not. Yeah. I mean, we laugh it, but it's not a point of ridicule, you know. Actually, it has never. I think, well, for me, I have so much layers on how I feel. So if somebody asked me that, they probably have to ask me that about 10 times before they peel back every single layer. Not saying it's healthy, but that's just how. I mean, that's just how I grew up operating, you know. It's not that I haven't broken down in front of people. I have broken down in front of people, but them asking me how I wasn't necessarily the trigger for that kind of thing, you know. But for me,
it's kind of weird because, you know, I was just sitting down there and I'm like, yo, I don't know, maybe it was kind of selfish of me or what, but I don't know. It's like I was just sitting down there and I was looking and, you know, evaluating my life and the relationships that I have. And I'm like, yo, I'm always there for people. I'm always there helping people and giving advice and... It's like me just try to figure out, like, when was the last time somebody
who saves the hero? You know, you're a hero for everybody. Who saves the hero?
I guess in a sense, I'm to be blamed for it because probably I have this persona that I am always good and I don't need.
You understand?
Because, you know, sometimes you have to wear the Superman cape and the S on your chest, but... Like, man, I go on you, like, literally, like, these last couple of months, especially these last couple of weeks, man, it's been trying.
So, you have to be able to check on your strong friends, you know? Check on the people who are...
But, you know, we make it hard, because... Let me tell you something. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me tell you something. I feel life put some people in your life. For those completely shake up your life, I think life has a sense of humor, a funny sense of humor. Like, you'd be at a stage in your life where you're trying to overcome, whether it be your anger or something, and then life just puts somebody in that position to just test you.
Yeah. They say every test is a testimony, still, you know, it's just to see how you cope with it, how you deal with it. Yeah.
and there's pasta steps coming. But you know, it's true, you know, they say, you know, life will keep on giving you the same test until you learn the lesson, you know?
Yeah.
And I've often, you know, sat down and thought about, you know, some of my relationships and all of those things. And I realized that pain is it's a big distractor, in the sense that sometimes when you're feeling pain, you can't necessarily acknowledge everything else, you know, or anything else. Because what I've realized is I've leveled up each time, but I've never really stopped to think about that because I'm focused on that and, you know, how much it hurts. But when I look at all the relationships I've been in, I've realized that, yo, if you are to look objectively at it, like, you're not going down. You're on a steady climb. But people don't necessarily see that because we're often waiting for this one big, glaring sign that oh, yo, we have evolved or we are now a much better version of ourselves. But life doesn't really work like that. Life doesn't throw those big signs in your face. It often forces you to have that moment of introspection where you have to come to the realization that, yo, I have grown, but it's hard to recognize growth through pain.
I admire how you look at things. I won't lie to you, because a lot of the tests that I've had, especially when it comes to interacting with people, I let that shit crash and burn. And so I wouldn't even say I passed that test, because you see, you know, it's like what Rimzy say, you know, sometimes you get so exhausted from helping people and talking to people. And knowing that if you don't talk to people, then that's another issue. And so sometimes it's like, you know, if the test is patience, I probably failed it. Because I'm like, you know, let this person think whatever they want to think about me. I just don't have it. Because yes, just this week, you know, somebody said that, you see, because you have it, you seem like you have it all together. Even if you have, like, a death in the family or you're grieving, they don't know how to approach you to even say... They don't know how to console you. They don't know how to approach you. Because you always... If I say, listen, I have a death in the family, and they say, sorry for your loss, they don't know what else to say, because you have never really opened up for them to get to know you enough to understand that you feel vulnerable too, especially when we say things so matter-of-factly. My grandmother died, and then you don't have any emotion that comes with it, so the person is just left saying,
right.
Oh, Jano, sorry.
But that's, you know, the thing, Steph. Where we normally going to find the time for open up, when we always pretty much giving advice and giving...
I guess
that's kind of my issue, because I'm that person, I'm that friend that's always there for everybody. And I mean, not that I have a problem with it, because to be quite frank and quite honest with you, I'm a loner. Like, when I have no problem of staying at my house, just do my thing by myself or whatever. Like, I'm that type of person. But if somebody have an issue, I literally spend hours on the phone and talk to you and all of that. And then it might sound a way, but because I've given whoever so much of me, it becomes exhausting in a sense, and then it's like I don't have anything left for myself. And then in my lows, when I'm sitting down now and I'm like, yo, I kinda want somebody to just ask me. I don't really want to tell nobody nothing, but I kinda just want somebody to just ask me, yo, yeah, you good? Yeah, or some shit. You know, I tell nobody nothing. Like, me don't really want to tell you what.
Is it thought that comes? Is it gesture?
Just gesture. And it what annoys me most of the time is that, and I don't want to come off as selfish, but I'll be real, what annoys me most of the time is that, you see this thing with expectations, sometimes it can just make you write off people, because you can be in different type of relationships, with whether intimate or just real friends, deep friendship, and I mean, you would probably expect something of the other person because you've given so much. Not that you're looking for anything back, but just the gesture of, yo, you're good.
Yeah.
You rarely get that. You
rarely get that. I know people who, like, they would ask you if you're good, and before you could respond, they follow it up with a request or to tell you their problems. Mm. Yep. And so what that does is that lowers my expectation that anybody, when they ask if you're good, that they really genuinely mean it. Like, they're just using it as a segue into telling you what they need from you, or just putting all of their burden on you. Right, Natu?
But you know what I realized? At play there. So it seems that we kind of all have this. It's true, I would say, of you know, the strong man, quote unquote, in the sense that we want to be there for people. But at the same time, although we want people to be there for us, one, we won't say it necessarily, and two, we don't necessarily know how to
accept it.
to accept, because I've seen, like, I've personally been, you know, like, I'll listen to somebody who will say, oh, yo, I'm going through this, and I'll listen and I'll give advice, and when the person says, so what about you, man? No, I'm good.
Yeah. I'm good, man. Everything's good.
Because sometimes you don't even want to hear the sound of your voice talking about your problems, you know. That's the thing, you know. You don't even want to hear yourself. You don't even want to hear yourself say certain things.
You couldn't have said it better.
That's a part of it. But why though? Like, why do we feel like, all right, so outside of normal circumstances where we don't like hearing our own voices, because I think even though we do karaoke, them, I really don't like to listen to them. but the thing is, it's like, it's a bit, it's weird because we do things and then we have a sort of subconscious expectation that, you know, those things might be reciprocated. But at the same time, whenever there are attempts, like somebody say, yo, like, oh, like, you're sitting by yourself and you're like, listen, I just want somebody to ask how I am. Somebody come and ask you how you are. And internally you're like, no, not you.
But how many times would that actually happen? When you want somebody to ask you who you are, and they ask, and somebody, even if it's not somebody who you want, actually asks you who
you are. You know the word.
Or let me rephrase it. The person that you want to ask you how are you doesn't ask you how are you.
So I might be having an oversight now, but I can't remember a time where I've wanted someone to check in on me. Like, I appreciate it, but I feel, and honestly, like, I feel sometimes guilty for wanting that from people. And I don't know why. It's strange. Like, sometimes I feel guilty for wanting people to check on me, so I don't embrace that feeling, because I tell myself that, yo, whatever problems I'm facing, I'm handling, I can handle them on my own, and it would be unfair for somebody else, even if I've just helped that person, it would be unfair for me to offload these on them, knowing that you're like, I just helped you take off a load, and now I'm sharing my problems with you. So in a sense, like, if you are empathetic enough, it means that I'm also like stacking back onto you. So rather than do that, I just completely avoid it. And so when someone says, are you okay? I say, yeah, But I tell people, if I ask you, you're okay, don't answer me right away. Take a second. Take a couple. I don't want a program response. Because we are somehow like conditioned. Whenever somebody say, are you okay? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You're good? Yeah. So whenever I ask somebody that, I always tell them, yo, don't answer me. Just take a second and think before you answer me.
What I learned is that you should, that's not even the best question to ask somebody because it's a close-ended. It's an easy way to get out of it. The better way to ask people, you know, how are you? Right? How are you is a harder question to wiggle out of, you know? But so you have to, but you know, we'll still find ways to get out of it. Yeah, I'm there as a man. You're just there. How you stay? Well, you not ask someone, how are you? But we say, how you stay? Medea can mean so many things. But I feel like for me, I don't like to talk about certain things because I feel like when I talk about it, it becomes real, you know? I think that's it. I think that I feel like it's totally rational. I feel like if I keep it in and I don't say it out openly, you know, they say the universe is listening sometimes. Like if you're stressed, but you don't say you're stressed, maybe you can trick the universe into thinking that you're not stressed, you know? So that's why I don't even like to hear myself say certain things. And then, of course, if you say certain things and you're unstable, yeah, you're going to break down. You're going to break all the way down because when you hear it out loud, it's totally different. Totally different.
I think we live in this world where we just have to, it's like we constantly have to check if things are balanced and if things are add up. And I think why we just can't just live and things just...
Why can't we all just get along?
just things be just cool, yo. Like, fuck.
Yo, is it... Like, do you feel that there is pressure to be ambitious? Like, I know it's good to, in some respects, to be ambitious. But do you feel like there is pressure for you to have these grand aspirations, these grand
goals? Oh, come on, man. I always say I grudge people who don't have any ambition. I grudge people who don't have any ambition. This is being ambitious is not...
It's hard.
Is not... Yeah, it's tiring. It's not something to be sought after. You know what you want are the outcomes of ambition. You know what you want are the outcomes of the ambition. But ambition, even out of itself, it's tiring.
It's hard. It's mentally hard. It's physically hard. It's emotionally hard.
Everything. Listen, man.
You think me no one doesn't lie down on my bed one night or one whole week and just don't
say
do
that,
shit like
say that again. Say that again, like
get up and not wake up 4 o'clock, like not go to the gym, not research shit, not read nothing, not learn nothing, just be a waste man.
But that's the thing though, like even that person.
I know what I want out of life.
You see what you say, you know what you want.
So
you don't want the ambition, again, you want the outcome of the ambition. That's the thing.
Exactly. But that's how life is though. There's ambition is a journey to the outcome, right? Yeah. You have to go through that journey. But
it's like, you know, alright, so we consider, Like what Rimde just said, you know, it's just like common talk, but just the perception that somebody who is not ambitious or who does not have what appears to be ambitious pursuits is a waste man, you know what I mean? But then I've seen men, girls, who have so little and are living such profoundly happy lives. And sometimes it's hard to grasp, like it's you know, like how can you be this happy? Like we're in a recession, we're in a pandemic, and you know, man get up, kids, go beaching, come back, cut the yard, then cook dinner, then eat, and so I'm looking at it and I'm thinking like, yo, some people have that.
And I want to think happy is different for everybody. You know,
I know, but like the mainstream perception of ambition, then, because that may have been that man's ambition. Obviously, ambition might be relative in this case, and that may have been that man's ambition to just have a simple life. But I think,
and then you don't the flip side to that coin, I'm gonna be difficult, is that you don't really know if that man is actually happy.
No, but
it could just be a facade.
No, but you know, we will never really know what's happening on the inside. As far as we're all just observing, so we can only cast judgment from that perspective. But to see somebody who, and I've asked the same person I'm describing, I asked, yo, like, you know, life good, your life I agree. That's your question. Life I agree with it. And this is not somebody who felt the need to have any grand pursuits. This is not somebody who feels like they must have a big build this big life. I think we all just want, I want a simple life, but you know, I just feel like there is some pressure, maybe internally, obviously internally, but externally as well, you know, for people looking at you and saying, oh, yo, like, this is what you are supposed to achieve, because this is how we see you, you know. So for example, like, let's say after Steph getting doctorate, Steph decides, yo, he might go back to in artist career and just...
Let me
getting PhD and just go back to that. And there are people who would legit be disappointed by that and think of Steph as not somebody who is living up to his potential. And so I feel like that's a pressure of ambition. Do you guys feel that way sometimes?
Well, I know for a fact, yes, it doesn't matter what I do after the PhD. Once people know I have a PhD, they're going to look at everything through an intellectual lens. They're going to be like, he is so qualified that there must be a reason that he's doing this thing. But sometimes you just want to get away. So after the PhD, I am going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. Right. Hopefully, I sleep for 2-3 days. And those 2-3 days are probably going to be the best days of my
album.
Life.
Huh? Shit.
It's a record
album.
Featuring Natu. Featuring Natu. Make ribs into the... We can't make a men's trap music album. Legendary.
That's how I remember it. DJ Khaled, we the best. Remember just all that they are legendary. We just voice out that for
real. No, that would have funny still. That would have funny still.
Just drop it one day. And drop, you know, in one promo one day.
Yeah, that would have fire still. That would have fire still. But yeah, but I think everybody craves the point where they can't stop. You know, I think everybody craves the point where they can't, or at least choose to stop. Like, to know that you can do nothing for 6 months and you're still fine. Or you can do nothing for the next 20 years of your life and you're still fine. You know, I think everybody is racing. I think that's the goal. You know?
I saw something to that point recently. Where somebody, you know, pretty much proposed a world where, you know, we all just have what we want, and this is not like in a utopia kind of sense. It was pretty much a proposition of a kind of like socialist structure where, you know, everybody's needs were met, everybody had equal contributions and you know, stuff like that. And somebody was saying like, yo, no. And the person who originally made the post asked, why would you not want everybody, even people who don't work, like, why would you not want them to have everything that they want? And I realize that we've been so conditioned to, and I'm not saying that you're not supposed to earn or whatever, you're not supposed to, but I feel like it's important to question some of these things, that question why is it that we don't feel comfortable with the idea that somebody who may not be able to input as much as we do, why we're not comfortable with them, you know, living a life just as comfortable as we want or as we are, even if we're contributing more. I know it sounds weird saying that because, you know, naturally, like, even saying it now, like, in my head, all the thoughts are pretty much counteracting that, like, yo, my God, like, you have to work and earn your keep, you have to do this, you have to do that, but, you know, like, why? Listen, you know what I mean?
Me that be one of the Rasta man who live up in the hills. Once me have free Wi-Fi. Once me have Wi-Fi up in the hills. me that plan to do everything else. Just make sure we have Wi-Fi as well. And I have no problem living in the hills.
I don't know, man. There are just a bunch of expectations that we take on. That we don't question where they come from. We just take them on and assume them to be things of our own. Like, if we were to really strip the thing that the world has piled onto us and really see what our own genuine thoughts are, we'd be surprised that a lot of the things we're pursuing now, it's not necessarily because we want to, or it's not necessarily because it's coming from us. It's just that over time, it became hard to distinguish our voice from the voice of the world. And so we do things without necessarily realizing that, yo, and that's why some people can go down a long road and at the end of it, they don't feel fulfilled or happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like Jay goes, say, yo, you come a long way, but you went the wrong way. But that's because we've taken on these things and now we don't understand when we're pursuing something that is in service of ourselves versus something that is just a consequence of voices that are not our own telling us what we need to do,
But happiness is, I mean, we live in a capitalist society. Happiness is not a currency. And I think that's the issue because, a lot of women don't even want to see a man happy. Because when a man too happy, some women have an issue with it. Two, we are judged based on what we can provide and the lifestyle we can create. So nobody don't care if you're happy. They just want to know you can provide. You can pretend to be happy.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the thing, you know. You can pretend to be happy or you can buy things that distract you from the fact that you're not happy. And that's how we define our lives. That's how society defines our lives. That's what consumerism is. That's what retail therapy is. But it's about reclaiming that and saying, you know what? As a man, you are allowed to feel happy and to do the things that make you feel happy. It's not just about chasing your dreams and your goals. That's fine. But at some point, I think we need to be selfish about how we want to feel, not what we want, because I think every man knows what he wants. But I think we need to start being selfish about how we want to feel. We live our lives.
Think I need to take your advice.
No, man, it's a serious thing. Rimzy, think about it. When you wake up in the morning, there was a point in my life when I would wake up in the morning and, like, you see a bag of messages come in. And it's like you have to mentally prepare yourself to respond to messages from work, personal life, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time before, in 15 minutes of your morning, you're drained already because you've given everything, right? And sometimes you just feel like delete every phone number out of your phone. Or just dash with the phone, just dash with the phone. Yo.
Literally, sometimes I see my phone and I don't even want to touch it.
I heard like, Nick Cannon say something, and I said, when the moment I heard him say it, I said, I'm going to start working towards it. Nick Cannon does not have a cell phone. He has a laptop. The laptop, in this day and age, a laptop can do everything that a cell phone does. You can FaceTime, you can message, you can email, all of these things. You can make, right? So When you sit down in front of the laptop, you can do all of those things in bulk. When you get up and leave that device, you are not taking that device with you. And I was like, this is so brilliant. Because this thing, this you're tied to this thing and people are tied to you eternally. Just think about it. You're always in touch. You're always at thumb length. Because somebody can easily message. You know, think about it. I don't have any notifications on my phone. My phone doesn't ring. It doesn't vibrate. It doesn't have any notifications. And that's what I had to do to start moving away from the device. You know, the next thing is to see, listen, how many apps can I delete that I don't have to be on this thing that long? Right? But the aim ultimately is to break away from it, brother. Seriously.
That's solid. What I start doing is, there's this thing on the phone called digital
wear. Mm-hmm. I start
time myself with certain things. So I literally time myself with certain things. 30 minutes, yep. 30 minutes. Wherever I pop off, I hit that. So if WhatsApp time limit done, nobody can get me.
Absolutely, brother. You have to do it. Because, you know, we're going into the realms of mental health. Because it, whether we want to admit it or not, it does affect our mental health, brother.
Mm-hmm.
When you give everything, just think about it. You have work life. You have family. You have relationships. You have you just have some idle reasoning. So yo, sometimes yo, when I not even know, sometimes they meme them save me day, no brother. Sometimes they look like an idiot meme them save me day, no man. They look
trust me,
man. They look like a meme them save me day sometimes, man. Because it's like you're giving. You're always in touch. You're always on go. You always have to be up there. And the moment, and that's the thing, you know, the moment you fall down, as going back to where I said not to, the moment you fall down in one conversation, it's like all of a sudden, everything else doesn't matter. You know, it's everything else doesn't matter. You could be talking in a, listen, you could be talking in a work group 24/7, and the one time you choose not to respond immediately is an issue.
There's too many triggers, bro, and that's why, you know, how I start my mornings and how I end my nights are literally important to me. So, like, morning time, I really don't just get up and grab the phone. Night time, I literally put down the phone, like, before I close my eyes, like, literally about 45 minutes to an hour before. So, if it go on after I do whatever I need to do, then fine, but
So I stargaze every night. I know it's probably like a hippie thing to do, but
you know what?
A stargaze. So like, you know, like shut off the lights, put on the devices, and just go outside and just look up. You know, I feel it's an underrated thing to do in terms of, you know, getting peace of mind from it, because you know we're just always looking down. Our heads are pretty much always
that's
down.
Profound.
You know, we're
that's
down profound. Because of the problems that are weighing us down are the devices. So it's, for me, it's a twofold thing. It's about, you know, embracing and being present in the now, and also consciously like looking up. I don't know, but it just seems to have this soothing thing. The night sky, bro. It's such a beautiful thing. And when I'm in those moments, I often wonder, like, it baffles me how people, like, I just see people just walking by and there is no hint that they are even aware that this is about them. You know, so for me, it's an exercise in not taking things for granted. Because when you're out there and when you're looking up and you become conscious that, you know, you are breathing, you are reminded that, you know, there is purpose. You it's something to get lost in, and for maybe a block of like 30 to 45 minutes, you're not looking on your phone. You're not thinking about who might be messaging you, because, you know, you have devoted this block of time to just being present with what's happening around you. Like, at night, like when I go outside, I can hear the dog or the bark much miles away. I can look up, I can hear people talking at a distance. I can hear a mother and them pitting in the house to talk at night before they got in bed. You know, just some little things that we have allowed this life as it is to just drown out. And so, like, when you take those moments, I feel like I would encourage people to do it. You know, not because you want to be a dream or anything like that, but it's such a therapeutic thing to do, you know, if you are so inclined. So yeah, that's what I
do. I feel like I needed this conversation, because to be honest, as I say, you know, every day in, day out, you have to plan certain things. It just feel good to just talk. Nah, like.
Yeah, I needed this talk.
for real, so.
Legendary.
Cool, bruvs. Yo, Nato.
Yo.
We're gonna grab it, see? Just wanted to get that on wax. Alright, cool.
Eh? Yo, you know what I'm not hearing?
Trash!
Yo, I hear Rimzy, but I hear
stuff. What do you say? Here? What do you mean? Here as in not what on LeBron head?
Oh, this is so No, I'm not going to buy that. No one
never hear the food. No one never hear. Rogaine.
Yeah, man.
Look for
goat shit, isn't it?
I think that's why Natu and LeBron connect, you know, because Fiend Beard can't connect and LeBron hairline can't connect.
Wow.
It all makes sense, though. It all makes sense.
Yo.